14, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we've been over this. Simon has received the revelation, and it was not given to him by flesh and blood. And the sermon absolute, which we've been studying, is Brother Branham says that, "I'm so glad that God got a hold of me before the church did." So even in him saying that is a direct reflection of this scripture, when Jesus is saying that flesh and blood has not revealed these things to you. But there's a difference between God and the church, and you can get caught up in the church. Brother Branham, that's why Brother Branham said, "I'm so glad that God got a hold of me before the church did." Because of, you know, the religious and the ideas and the doctrines and the denominations and the personal ideas being put over God's word is why he's saying that. And because people will read the Bible, or they'll have a text, and they'll take what they want out of it, and they'll deny the other parts. And people will have church, and they'll have sermons, and then they'll say, "Well, this scripture was for that people, and this scripture was for this," and they won't take the full context of it, and they won't, and they'll try to work around it, and what they end up doing is discrediting a part of God's word. And that's what the Bible says: if you take one word away or add one word to, there'll be a curse upon you. So we need to take the full word and not just part of the word, and try to make our own ideas out of that. So Brother Brown says, "I'm so glad that God got a hold of me before the church did. I'd probably been an infidel. Yes, sir, all this conglomeration, the mess, and everybody will come over and join ours. Well, and if you don't, we'll pick up your letter and join the other one. Oh, won't you bring your letter into our fellowship? I believe there's one letter. That's when Christ writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only one it's on." So it's not about the building you go through. It's not about the church. It's not about the assembly. It's not about any of that. It's about your personal relationship with God. It's not about, even how much money the church has or how big the church is. And the Brother Brandon even continues to say, there are certain churches where, like, they'd be so proud of who would attend their church. They'd be like, "Oh, well, the mayor goes to our church, or this famous person goes to our church, or this person and who famous musician or whatever, they go to our church," and they'll take so much pride in that, and they're not even accepting the word of God. They're not thinking about, like, is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministers at our church, is the Bible being preached at our church in full truth and sincerity? Is there love in our church? Is there fellowship in our church? Do people actually care about each other? Are people trying to live a good Christian life in our church? But they're more worried about, well, our church is, so many square feet, and our church has so many people, and our church has this person and that person and that person going to our church. But what we need to really worry about is the revelation, and if we're being fed spiritually at our churches, if we're really being fed, and we're growing in our personal Christian lives in our churches. So, and if, everyone, even Brother Dale would say, if you're not, you feel like you're not getting fed here spiritually, you need to go somewhere else. And it's because it has to be your own personal revelation, and you have to be feel like you're being, led spiritually. You can't just go here or go anywhere else because of the people that go there, or because of how big it is, or how fancy everything looks, or if there's like a nice, if there's amenities, and Brother Brown often talks about how certain churches he would go to, it would feel more like a lodge than an actual church, because they'd just be sitting there, they'd be talking about football and sports and the game, and the word of God never comes up. The word of God is just, well, 30 minutes, a guy will come up and say something, and then we go back to talking about football or basketball or whatever the case may be, or that famous musician last night, or what happened to this celebrity couple, and they're not really there to commune and really think about the word of God, but they're so worried about the things of the world, and they're just so distracted that they're not really looking at the word, and they're not really receiving what God wants us to receive. They're not growing in the way that us as Christians are supposed to grow. They're not climbing the stature of a perfect man. They're distracted, basically. And that's why the word has to be number one. So Sir Billy Graham, he's preaching against these denominations. He's preaching, you know, just to manage your sincerity towards the word, just to be sincere. And Brother Branham, even in his journey, when he's talking about how he felt like he hadn't done enough for the Lord, and he's praying to God, like, what can I do? Like, how do I further my spiritual walk? How do I become a better Christian? And the answer is given to him, and it just says, just be more sincere, and to just increase your sincerity in the word. And even in things like reverence and how we talk to each other, and like, how sincere are you being? Like, when you read your Bible, like, are you sincerely reading your Bible, sincerely wondering, you know, like, man, I really want God to speak to me. Like, every night, every day, when you look at a scripture, anytime you even glance at a scripture, like, I want God to speak to me through this. And just to be that sincere, and be like, I know God can speak to me. So what is in this scripture that God is trying to tell me? Or even just when you walk into church, or if you walk into the church area, just how are we acting? Are we reverent to the Spirit? Are we reverent to, you know, what's going on? Are we reverent to the spirit of worship, or what's being taught? Are we reverent? Are we sincere in what we're seeking? When we talk to our brothers and sisters, are we sincere about, as we are as Christians? Because we'll say, oh, I want to be a Christian, or I want to follow God, I want to do this. And then someone will come talk to you, and then you'll just get upset at them, and then you'll just want to talk to them, or something will happen. And that's a factor. That's part of your sincerity is how you treat other people as well. Because the Bible tells us how to treat other people. And we have to love everyone, because we're supposed to love our enemies. So we should definitely be able to love, you know, the brothers and sisters in the church, as well as your friends and family. And you should be able to love people with the love of God. And that factors into your sincerity. Because if you're sincerely looking in the Word and trying to be a better Christian, there's going to be things in your life that you need to correct, that you need to get better at, you know, and it's going to be things that are maybe uncomfortable, but if you're sincere about following God in the Word, you're going to put the time and effort into yourself to develop those things. So always check your sincerity. And I love how simple God is. When Brother Branham, you know, when God told him that, Just to be more sincere. How does Brother Branham really be more sincere? You know, it's not in him. So God tells him, be more sincere. And then what Brother Branham does is he just prays, God, make me more sincere. Watch, just improve my sincerity. Increase my sincerity towards the word. So even just the sincerity, even in your faith, even just to believe God, just to like pray, God, give me more faith, or whatever you're needing, and you're like, how do I get that? You know, because sometimes we think like, oh, I need a car, so I need to get a job, I need to save up a good bank account, I need to save up money, I need to do this, I need to do that. But when it comes to the blessings of God, it's not like, okay, I need sincerity, so I need to read my Bible 30 minutes a day, I need to pray this long a day, but all he had to do is just ask God, like, give me more sincerity. And that's it. It's not like a list of things we have to do. It's not like, oh, how do I be more this? How do I be more that? And there's things that can help, you know, along with that journey. But one of the simplest things you can do is just to ask for it. Because you have not, because you ask not. So if you're lacking something, if you're missing something, if you're missing, you know, peace in your life, if you're missing, you know, a good relationship with someone, you know, or anything like that, or just anything in your life, or even if you want good, better grades next year, or whatever you're thinking of, whatever you're seeking in your life, ask for that. Just ask for that, and sincerely ask, because God can read your heart, and He'll know if your request is sincere. And I believe he's a good father and he takes care of his children. So if you ask him for something, with sincerity, he's going to give you what you need. But that's why you need that absolute. So you know who to ask, you know what you're doing, you know that this can, it can guide you. But you need a personal relationship with God. The Bible can guide you. Because there's plenty of people who read the Bible, but they don't have a relationship with God. So then they can't fully understand what it's saying, how to get the promises out of here. It's like almost like a rock, you know, like when there's minerals and there's gold and there's precious metals like gold or diamonds or whatever, you know, you can have a rock, but if you don't know how to get those minerals out, then you're never going to be able to, you know, reap the rewards of finding that. You know, you can have something that, like any of us in here could go to a shop and get some car parts, but we're never going to make a vehicle unless there's someone who knows how to, you know, who knows how to put those parts together and put it inside of a car so the car will run smoothly. So we need that spiritual knowledge of how to get the components that we have to actually get the thing together and to get the car to run smoothly. But there's plenty of people who can have the car parts and just buy the car parts, but they won't know what to do with them. So we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That way, when we get the parts, when we read the Bible, when we listen to the prophet, we know what to do with what's being demanded of us and instructed of us, and what God commands us to do. So once we have that, you know, spiritually, that knowledge of how to put things together and that relationship with God, then everything's going to fall in line and fall in his place much more smoothly. And Brother Branham says, people said, God talked to me, and I know he did talk because I heard it when I was a kid. He told me not to drink and things. He didn't answer me. I said, maybe I was supposed to put my hands like this. So Brother Branham was telling the story of how when he was young and he didn't know how to pray. And I would say that if you have parents in your life that taught you how to pray, that's a huge blessing, just to have someone in your life that was able to teach you, you know, when you go to talk to God, you know, there's a way to do it. There's a way to go to him in reverence. There's things you say, there's just how you do it. And just to have parents that would teach you how to pray and how to talk to God and how to better get those metals, get those precious metals out of the rock, you know, just to teach you how to go there and how to go to the source and get it for yourself. And but Brother Brown, unfortunately, didn't have that. He didn't have really any idea of how to pray or talk to God. So he's here, but he knows he's heard God talk to him and told him not to drink. And he goes on to say, so I said, dear sir, I don't know just exactly how to do this, but I trust that you will help me. And each preacher would tell me, come join theirs and stand up and say, they took Jesus Christ and they believe Jesus, the Son of God. Devils believe the same thing. So I thought, I got to have something better than that, you know, than just believing. So, and he says, no, I was studying like this. I read where Peter and John passed through the gate called Beautiful, and there was a man crippled from his mother's womb, so since birth. Said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, oh, I know it, I didn't have that. So I was trying to find out how to do it. I didn't know how to pray. I made my hands, then I laid down like this, and of course Satan come on. Excuse me. And of course Satan come on the scene and said, you see, you waited too long. You're already 20 years old. There's no need of trying it now, yeah? So I'm going to stop here and say that, you know, he's struggling to pray. And the devil's coming to him, and he's saying, well, you're 20 years old. It's too late. You're too old now. You know, and maybe for some of us in here, this is a younger crowd, and maybe the devil's telling you that you're too young to receive these things or to have these promises. And the devil's probably telling you, you're too young. Maybe when you're older, you can do these things. Or maybe when you're older, you can serve the Lord. Or maybe when you get older. But right now, you're too young and too inexperienced. But God doesn't call for any of that. God doesn't say you have to be a certain age, you know, to enter into the kingdom. You know, but like I said last time, you know, Jesus in the scripture simply just says, follow me. He doesn't say, follow me when you're this old, or follow me when you're this young, or follow me when you have this much money, or follow me when you're this mature. But he just says, follow me. And that's the simplicity of it. It's just follow me. And that was telling Brother Branham that, you know, he's too old because he's 20. And then he goes on to say, then I got all broke up and started crying. And then when I really got broke up, I said, I'm going to talk. If you don't talk to me, I'm going to talk to you. Anyhow. So I said, I'm no good. I'm ashamed of myself, Mr. God. I know you'll hear me somewhere. You'll hear me. And I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed that I have neglected you. So that's kind of where we need to go when we seek the Lord, is that, you know, when he's coming to the Lord and he feels so condemned because, you know, he feels like he hasn't lived a life worthy. He feels like out of place, and the devil's coming to him telling him he's too old and all these things, and then he just gets so emotional and he breaks down crying and he just says, Lord, I'm sorry. Even if you're not going to talk to me, I just want to say something to you. And he's like, I'm sorry, I've neglected you. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. And he's humbling him. It's humbling him. This experience is humbling him. And we know the scripture says that those that, you know, humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be abased. So when he's humbling himself, and then that's when God is going to come to him and reveal things to him. You know, when he's humbled, when it's in simplicity, when he's forgotten about, you know, he's not thinking of, and this whole time he's thinking like, oh, how am I supposed to pray? Am I supposed to put my hands like this? Am I supposed to pray? Like, what? How am I supposed to pray? Am I supposed to lay down? Am I supposed to, you know, do this or do that? But then eventually he just forgets about all of that, and he just has a one-on-one, a heart-to-heart with God, and just says, I know I'm doing wrong, and I'm sorry, and I've neglected you, and I know you'll hear me somehow. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what I'm doing. But Lord, I know I've neglected you. And I just want to be better. I just want a relationship. I just want to know. You know, he's just humbly coming to the Lord and surrendering himself. And then he says, about that time I looked up and a funny feeling swept over me. Here come a light moving through the room and made a cross like that. And a voice that I never heard in my life talked. I looked at it, just cold, all over, numb from scare. I couldn't move, stood, looked at it, it went away. I said, sir, I don't understand your language. I said, if you can if you can't talk mine and I don't understand yours, and if you have forgiven me, I know that I'm supposed to be reckoned at the cross there, somewhere that my sins were supposed to lay in there. And if you will forgive me, just come back and talk your own language. And I'll understand that if you can't talk my language, I said, you just let it come back again. There it was again. Oh, my goodness. There I got an absolute amen. Yes, sir. It felt like a load of 40 tons lifted off my shoulders. I walked down through the floor where I couldn't even touch the ground. So he first comes and he tries to have all these conditional things, and he tries to put his hands a certain way, and maybe he has to, you know, stand a certain way, or maybe sit a certain way. And then he just forgets all that. He just pours his heart out. And then God comes to him supernaturally and answers his prayer and forgives him for what he's done. And he knows he's been neglectful, but God forgives him. And that's just how we need to come, is to come humbly and just to come, you know, sometimes just forgetting the structure and just yielding yourself to the Spirit and yielding yourself to what God's trying to do in your life, and not worry, and just like I said, the sincerity. That's what propelled his ministry, was the sincerity, and just to come sincerely and humbly, you know, to the Lord and understand what he's trying to do in our lives. So just come humbly so you can finally have an absolute. And that's why Brother Brennan said he had an absolute amen. When he had that experience, there was an absolute amen. Then when he humbled himself, came to the Lord, and surrendered himself, then he got an absolute amen, and he knew what he was doing. He knew what the purpose was. He knew what he had to do. He knew that, you know, it wasn't all just for no reason, but he knew he had an absolute, and he knew he could go somewhere with this. So don't let the devil tell you that, you know, you're too young, or even if you get older, that you're too old, or whatever stage of life you're in. There's no stage of life where God can't reach you. His love can always reach you. So God bless you. You're dismissed.